the phrase artificial intelligence conjures thoughts of sentient robots, technical chaos, or general disruption. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton sits down with a science fiction author who tells a mostly human story around AI. She also speaks about a question she still gets too often. What's it like being a woman author in science fiction? That conversation starts now.
Hi, and welcome back. For this segment, we're getting back into the world of artificial intelligence, shown through an incredibly intelligent new science fiction novel. The author, Becky Chambers, represents artificial intelligence in a way that not only humanizes it, but contextualizes it and makes it hilarious, adventuresome, and insightful. Ms. Chambers' newest title is A Closed and Common Orbit. It's a loose follow-up to her first novel, The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. This is part two of two with the author, so please look on KGORadio.com/Techonomics for the first podcast segment. You can also find it at Stitcher and Audio Boom. All right, here's part two with Becky Chambers. You have a more hopeful take in the book when it comes to artificial intelligence and the integration of that coming technology. If you watch CNBC long enough, you're going to get an expert, if you will, on the screen who's going to say AI is going to take all of our jobs, mass hysteria, cataclysmic. Do you think that sci-fi entertainment and literature are going to surge in this very polarized world that we're living in right now? It's a little uncertain. And I'm kind of thinking like back to 70s disaster flicks, you know, where that was kind of cathartic for audiences to go see that it wasn't just their life that was cratering. It was actually that huge tower in Los Angeles. Do you think that that is where people are going to find respite, sci-fi entertainment and lit?
I think that's already happening. You know, science fiction is, this is true of all fiction, but being biased about my genre, science fiction is always a reflection of the times in which it was written, not just in terms of the actual science. You know, you can see that in things like The War of the Worlds, you know, is ultimately about bacteria. And, you know, that was a very new discovery at the time. So you have this story written, you know, about that. Frankenstein being written when it was, when sort of medical science was very much at the forefront of the public psyche. These things get reflected. But it's not just the technology itself, but also our fears about that technology, right? Like, we're already seeing that in the science fiction, you know, both in TV and film and, you know, in literature as well. You know, we're seeing a lot of ecological disasters, and we're seeing a lot of plagues, and we're seeing, you know, a lot of artificial intelligence gone wrong or computers gone wrong and things like that. And it's all based out of, you know, the things that are at the forefront of our news right now that we're scared about. I think that's a very good and healthy thing, you know, to exercise those fears, to maybe laugh at them a little bit in some cases, or just grab the fear full on and say, hey, let's avoid this scenario. But I do think it's also important to show the optimistic side as well. I don't think that one is more important than the other, but I think you got to have a counterbalance, you know, and say, hey, you know, some of this technology could be good. We just have to be mindful about how we use it, how we implement it, that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that's already happening in terms of, you know, the trends we're seeing in the sorts of stories being told. We're already there.
We're speaking with Becky Chambers. She's the author of the new book, A Closed and Common Orbit. It's kind of a sequel. It doesn't overlap a little bit with your first book.
It is a sequel in that it picks up where the first book left off, but it doesn't follow the same main characters. It branches off with two minor characters from the first book. So you can pick up the second book and read it as a standalone, but, you know, chronologically it follows the first.
Okay. In your previous answer, we just spoke a little bit about how literature kind of reflects any kind of angst societally. Your first book kind of dealt with that as well, but it was also self-published. I want to throw in here that Andy Weir also self-published his first book, and it was called The Martian, and it went on to have a similar track as to yours. So congratulations on that as well.
Thank you.
Again, in that previous answer, you said my genre, which of course is science fiction. What made you want to write science fiction as opposed to another genre?
I can't imagine anything other than science fiction. I grew up in a very science-heavy household. My mom is an astrobiology educator, and my dad, he's retired now, but he was an aerospace engineer. My grandfather was a mathematician. He worked on, you know, on the Apollo program, which you may have heard of. It was just, I always absorbed that through osmosis. You know, my parents were very good about letting me choose my own path. And in the end, I'm the weird artsy one in the family. I'm the only one who didn't go into a STEM career. But science and exploration and a love for that is something I very much inherited from my family. And so I, when I tell stories, which I love to do, storytelling is my favorite thing, but you know, when you're doing your favorite thing, you think about your favorite thing, right? And that for me is space in the natural world. And so that's what I gravitate to.
Very cool. I guess my last question, we're speaking again, Becky Chambers, a critically acclaimed author, congratulations, top-selling author, new book, A Closed and Common Orbit. My mention there of top-selling, critically acclaimed author, the subset to that, or actually that's not true, it's not a subset at all, but part of that is being a woman author. Does that factor into you and your approach? I'm wondering if there has been any distinction, any barriers, any challenges, or hopefully none of the above have been applied to your arc.
In terms of my personal work, I haven't really encountered too much, but I really do feel like that's luck of the draw in terms of the people I work with at my publisher and, you know, just the fact that the world is changing a bit. However, it's still very much present in publishing, the fact that we have to ask this question at all, and I get asked this question all the time, which to me is indicative that we still see a separation there. You know, we still find it necessary to have a separate, you know, Wikipedia page of female science fiction authors versus just science fiction authors. You know, there's always that qualifier. And so it becomes this funny sort of catch-22 where on the one hand, I wish we didn't have to talk about it, but on the other hand, I think it's really important that we do, because there is still this perception that science fiction is a male genre and it's written by men. A sentiment I encounter not uncommonly is when I tell people I write science fiction, they assume I'm writing for kids, which is a whole weird thing to unpack, because on the one hand, I don't think you should devalue children's fiction either, you know, because there is that. That's a whole separate, you know, kettle of fish. But it is interesting that that's the assumption, you know, that because I am a woman, I must be writing for a younger audience. I'm not writing real science fiction. So that attitude is interesting to encounter. But for the most part, I would say, in terms of my career and sort of, you know, the path that that's taken, I have had a lot of freedom to write what I want. I didn't feel that I had to, you know, take on a pseudonym. And actually, that was something I really strongly did not want to do. And so I do think it's getting better, but there is still definitely a sense of separation and a sense of needing to prove yourself a little bit, you know, a sense of, oh boy, you know, I gotta make sure I'm being taken seriously kind of thing, which I think that's a very common feeling for women to have in any field that is considered to be a male-dominated field. So it's a feeling that hasn't impacted me too negatively, but one that I will, that I hopefully won't see too much of in the decades ahead.
I hope you're right. And as an interviewer, I wish I didn't have to ask that question, honestly.
And that's the thing. I was preparing for a convention a few months ago, and we ended up, just sort of by happenstance, everybody on the panel was women. And the moderator asked us ahead of time, you know, would you be comfortable addressing, I can't actually remember what it was, but it was some hashtag that had popped up on Twitter a few days prior about, you know, something sexism in publishing related. And we were really torn about it, because on the one hand, yes, we want to talk about this. This is important. This needs to be brought to the light. And on the other hand, we all just kind of wanted to talk about spaceships and elves and stuff.
Right.
We want to talk about our actual work. And I think that's the thing that we still really need to work on. When conversations with women in genre fiction tend to lean toward, so what are the struggles? So what are the barriers? You know, like, what are the problems we still need to address? And what we really want to talk about is the work, right? We don't want to talk about the problems in telling our stories. We want to talk about our stories. So I think that's the hurdle I hope we clear very quickly.
You know, in that answer, I kind of hearken back to just earlier in this interview when you mentioned that people who have really awful ideas could go off in the far distance of the universe and have their own planet, and that's not the best thing because there's no starlight on it. So by me asking the question and by you so eloquently answering it, I hope we've thrown a little bit more of starlight / sunlight on this issue, so maybe we can push it finally out of our view. So,
yes.
Becky Chambers, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a true pleasure. We hope to have you back soon.
Yeah, thank you. This has been a lot of fun.
That was Becky Chambers. She is the author of the award-nominated science fiction novels The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet and A Closed and Common Orbit. The second one is the one we're discussing today. For links and resources for this segment, all our segments, and all of our shows, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics. There's a story there that has all the relevant sourcing. Coming up after the break, not compromising your values and morals and ethics can actually boost your bottom line and still make people and communities healthier.
We spend more than $3 trillion in this country every year, and we don't have a goal.
Living proof of success through clean living. That's next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.